This is Pastor Emery with the second broadcast titled, What is Mystery Babylon, the Scarlet Woman of Revelation 17 and Revelation 18? Mystery Babylon and the beast which she rides are read in those passages. Could Mystery Babylon be connected with red communism? Revelation 17. John saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And in verse 18, the angel told John, The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Bible students have understood for centuries that this woman, Mystery Babylon, was, or was to be, a great worldwide dictatorship ruling all nations of the earth. Today, there exist primarily two schools of teaching on Mystery Babylon. One is what we call the futurist interpretation of prophecy, that all of the book of Revelation from chapter 6 on, and most of the prophecies in the Old Testament, are to be fulfilled in the future. The other school of teaching, and that to which I subscribe, is called the historicist interpretation of prophecy, and that is that both the Old Testament prophecies and the book of Revelation were and are a revelation or a revealing of the history between Christ's first advent and his second advent and on into the kingdom. In other words, much of prophecy and revelation has already been fulfilled in the last 1900 years. What is happening right now is further fulfillment of those same prophecies and the visions of Revelation. And if we understand them aright, we can see the future course of world history which will come upon us in the coming years. The futurists say the next event is the rapture, or the removal of the Christian believers from the earth, and then, and only then, can the book of Revelation be fulfilled. But we say the book of Revelation is being fulfilled right now, and has already in great part been fulfilled. And it is happening while we are here, while the Christians are upon the earth. And if we read the scriptures right, we will remain here right on through the last great conflict, the destruction of Mystery Babylon, and the coming in of the kingdom as described in the last two chapters of Revelation. So you stay tuned to this broadcast as we continue to read and discuss the last chapters of Revelation in this series titled, What is Mystery Babylon? Now, if you have your Bibles, turn again with me to the book of Revelation, and we'll continue our study on what is Mystery Babylon. Last week we read through verse 7 of Revelation 16 in our preliminary study to set the stage for Revelation 17 and 18, which describe Mystery Babylon. And I'll review just briefly for listeners who might be hearing this broadcast for the first time. Chapter 15 tells of the seven vials of God's wrath which were given to the seven angels to be poured out upon the earth as seven last plagues. And one of the most important verses in that chapter is verse 8, which says, No man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Since we are told by Jesus Christ in Revelation 3:12 that he would make overcomers a pillar in the temple of my God, it seems that they must await the completion of the seven plagues of Revelation 15 before they can enter God's temple. That, of course, contradicts the popular and almost universal teaching today that overcomers or Christians go immediately to stand in God's presence in His temple at their death. Anyway, then in Revelation 16, the angels are ordered to go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth, which then John saw them do, still, of course, in vision. We read through verse 7 of the first of these three vials being poured out. One put a sore upon men who had the mark of the beast, the second made the sea as blood, and the third one made the rivers and fountains of waters blood. I must repeat again, these cannot be taken literally. John was seeing the tribulations and violence of the earth's history in symbolism in vision. And the earth's history is just that, a history of wars, of destruction, and of the violent deaths of millions upon millions of people in great and continuing calamities brought upon the earth because men, so far, have refused God's rule over themselves and the earth, and they've gone in the way of Satan and man's own rebellion, bringing God's wrath or judgment upon them. I mentioned just a few of the plagues which the earth has suffered last week. Perhaps I should repeat them, since most of my listeners have heard so often that all of these plagues in Revelation 15 and 16 are yet future, and perhaps you have never considered that they might already be past history. A few of the plagues and destructions which have come upon the earth, I mentioned, were the slaughter of millions of followers of Christ by Imperial Rome, followed by the destruction of the Roman Empire by the Goths and the Vandals, and internal decay. The sweep of the Huns under Attila, destroying most of Europe from the Caspian Sea to Gaul, such a scourge upon what was then part of the new Christendom that Christian writers later referred to Attila as the sword of the Lord, and said he was a scourge sent from God for the blasphemy of the nations against God. The rise of Papal Rome, with hundreds of thousands of professing Christians persecuted and killed for possession of parts of the Bible in writing, or for refusal to partake of the sacraments of the Roman priest. The destruction of much of Eastern Europe by the Mongols under Genghis Khan. The rise of the Ottoman Empire, driving Christendom west and north and keeping it from the Eastern Mediterranean for over 13 centuries. The so-called Crusades during that time to recapture the city of Jerusalem. The Crusades resulted in the deaths of hundreds of thousands, including tens of thousands of children, who perished on what was known as the Children's Crusade. The Black Death, a plague which overswept Europe and much of Asia, killing an estimated one-quarter of all the people alive upon the earth at that time. And one later one, which I didn't mention, the Napoleonic Wars, in which every monarch of the Holy Roman Empire was deposed, Rome was occupied, the Pope taken captive, and the political power of the Pope over Europe, over Mexico, and Western America was ended. All of this, of course, accompanied with death and destruction so vast it staggers the imagination to contemplate. And still today, with this history of the past 2,000 years, the majority of preachers speak of a future 7-year period and say, oh, that 7 years will be the fulfillment of all of these great tribulations, worse than anything in the past. And they say that all of these things in the last chapters of Revelation will be fulfilled during that future 7-year reign of the Antichrist. Well, it would be laughable if it were not preached by so many and believed by millions of professing Christians. Let's read on now in Revelation 16,
as we set the stage for Mystery Babylon. Revelation 16, beginning in verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain, and their sores, and repented not of their deeds.
Now I believe it is possible that the plague of this fifth vial was the destruction of Papal Rome's Holy Empire by the Napoleonic Wars. Notice here, the wrath of God is poured out upon the seat of the beast, and we'll be discussing that beast in more detail when we get into Revelation 17, where John saw the woman riding upon that beast. And of course, the wars, as such, brought no Christian revival to Europe, no repentance, no turning to God, just as we read here, that they repented not of their deeds. Verse 12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And now here in these verses, we are reading those which are often read today and usually explained as being the preparation for the great battle which the futurists say will be fought during the seven-year reign of the Antichrist over in the Mideast. And I've heard them say that the drying up of the river Euphrates, which they always interpret as literal, with the actual drying up of the river itself, would allow the hordes of Chinese and other Asiatic armies to march directly against the Jews in Palestine and to fight the Battle of Armageddon, which is mentioned in verse 16. Many of them have maps in which they show the maneuvering of the armies of Russia and Egypt against the Jews, and they usually quote Ezekiel 38 and 39 as additional proof of the so-called Russian invasion of old Palestine. But again, I remind my listeners, these visions are not actual, they are not literal, they are symbolic and stand for something other than what the actual words describe, and they must be explained that way. First of all, if this is taken at all literally, as the futurists do, we have a contradiction here between this statement in Revelation 16 and the prophecies of Ezekiel 38 and 39. We just read here in verse 12 that the sixth vial was to prepare the way of the kings of the east. But in Ezekiel 38 and 39, the prophet makes it quite plain that the attackers will come from the north. Ezekiel 38, verse 6 reads, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma, of the north quarters, and all his bands. If you will look at the maps in the back of your Bible, they will show you the lands of Gomer and Togarma are in southern and western Russia, not in the east in China or India. Ezekiel 38, verse 14 and 15. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north part, out of the north part, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army, and thou shalt come up against my people Israel, as a cloud to cover the land, and so on. This is repeated in verse 2 of Ezekiel 39. And I will cause thee to come up from the north part, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. So the prophecy of Ezekiel 38 and 39 makes it plain beyond argument that the invading armies of Gog and Magog coming against Israel would come from the north. And yet men quote both Ezekiel 38, the invasion by Gog, and Revelation 16, the way of the kings of the east, and they say, oh, that is one and the same thing, the invasion of old Palestine, and of course they are not. Jeremiah also gave many prophecies of the end of the age battle against Israel by the enemies of God. I won't read all of them as I do not have time, but here are a few which mention compass directions. Jeremiah 4, verse 6. Set up the standard toward Zion. Strengthen, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. Jeremiah 6, verse 22 and 23. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses, set in array as men of war against thee, O daughter of Zion. So this is the last great battle against the daughter of Zion, and Jeremiah wrote that they come from the north. Daniel 11 gives a rather detailed vision of a battle fought by the armies of what Daniel calls the king of the north, seven times in Daniel 11. In the first part of Joel 2, he describes a great conquering force taking over the entire world. Then verse 11 through 17 tells of them coming against God's people Israel, and what Israel must do to be saved. Then we read in the description of God saving Israel, here called Zion several times, and this is verse 18 through 20 of Joel 2, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill favor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Now here in Joel, not only is the army of the great enemy of Israel called the northern army, but somewhat of a description is given of the land into which the army will be driven and destroyed. And it says, a land barren and desolate, and it mentions two seas, not one, as there is on the border of old Palestine, but two seas, the East Sea, and of course there is no East Sea anywhere near old Palestine. You'd have to go all of the way across ancient Persia, India, and Southeast Asia to the Pacific to get to an East Sea there. And the land between, of course, is not all barren and desolate. And the other sea in these verses is called the utmost sea, and Strong's Concordance says the Hebrew word there means the last sea, or specifically, the western sea. And of course there is one land fitting that description, and many other descriptions of Israel's land in the end of this age, and that land is this North American continent. We have an eastern sea, the Atlantic. We have a western sea, the Pacific. And the Pacific was the last sea to be discovered by our race. And in the northern part of this continent, between the Atlantic and the Pacific, is perhaps one of the most barren and desolate areas of all of the earth. northern Canada, and an army driven there would certainly perish rather easily from cold and lack of food or supplies. But whether you go along with me that North America is the abode of the house of Israel today and the site of the last great battle or not, you can see that the great battle against Israel, according to the prophet, was to be fought by an army coming against Israel from the north. Well, that took so much time, I'll have to leave until next week the explanation of just what the way of the kings of the east and the drying up of the river Euphrates is, here being prepared by the pouring out of the contents of the sixth vial. But I felt you had to be told it was not identical with the invasion of Israel by the forces of Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38. Gog and Magog come from the north. Here, something, whatever it is, comes from the east. And I shall explain that symbolism next week, God willing, as we move on closer to Mystery Babylon herself, described in Revelation 17. And I should leave you with this reminder again, and hope you remember this as we read on. John described Mystery Babylon as, quote, that great city that reigneth over the kings of the earth. And he said he saw her drunken with the blood of saints and the martyrs of Jesus. So, Mystery Babylon must be something coexistent with Christianity upon the earth. And Mystery Babylon must be the cause of the death of enough of them to be termed drunken with their blood by John. Mystery Babylon is not, and cannot be, some great world dictator system which appears only after we Christians are removed from the earth, as so many teach. So you'll be with me if you can. Do not miss any of this if you can help it, for I do not like to take too much time for repetition for new listeners. Until next week, this is Pastor Emory saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.